Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem Zayin. We're learning today's share, Leila Nishmas, Leah Lustig, Leah Golda Bas Abi Ezra Zelig, whose yahrzeit is today. And we're learning also Leila Nishmas, William Cinnamon, Zeev Alexander Ben Yecheskel, whose yahrzeit is tomorrow, which is Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. I'm dictating this Erev Rosh Hashanah, and it gives me a chance to wish all the people who are listening, they should be, Ezras Hashem, be able to continue to listen to Shiurim, have a good Gebench Dior, and a Kesiva V'chasima Tova to everyone and their families, and all of Klal Yisrael. We begin today's Shir, continuing to discuss a proof for how Rav Masharshi, yes, they said he doesn't believe that the rules of Psak that were outlined in the Gemara yesterday, Mimvav Mibeis, are correct. So we had gone through a couple of attempts to show where Rav Masharshi approves that these klolim don't apply, and each time we said those were the exceptions to the rule, and this is where the source is. So we do that again today. We start four lines on the top, Mem Zayin Nun Aleph. El Mihoditnan, from the following Mishnah, which we'll learn later in the Masechta, that's the source of Rav Masharshi's din, that the klolim that we said of Psak Halacha don't apply. And that is, from the following Mishnah, Haminiach is based off, a person leaves his house on Shabbos, so he lives in a chotzer, and he's going to leave that chotzer. So does he or does he not have to participate in the Erev Chatzeros? We said that even if one Jewish person is living there, doesn't participate, he ruins the potential for everybody in that chotzer to carry in that chotzer, midi rabbanon, because of the lack of an Erev Chatzeros with every single person participating. Now that's a din de rabbanon. V'holach lishbos biracheres. Now this person left his courtyard, he left his chotzer, and he went into a different city. So a yid can never come back from another city, it's too far away, and therefore he will not return to his courtyard on Shabbos. So whether Echod Narchui V'Echod Yisrael, the Tanakhama says, nevertheless, we'll see that the Tanakhama is, of course, Rav Meir. Very often the Tanakhama is Rav Meir, and sometimes he's listed as such, and sometimes he's not listed as such. So the Tanakhama holds, Echod Narchui V'Echod Yisrael, whether the person who left the courtyard is a Yid or whether he's a Goy. There are certain times that a Goy can also ruin a courtyard for a Yid to carry in, unless certain accommodations are made. So Echod Narchui V'Echod Yisrael, Osel Nechatzeros. He would ruin it. Even though he left to another city, he would still have the potential to come back, even a Yid, according to this Shita, and therefore, unless they made the appropriate accommodations for that person, they wouldn't be allowed to carry in that chotzer. Divrei Rav Meir, he is the Tanakhama. Gemara gives us another Shita. Rav Yehuda Omer, Eino Oser. The Mishnah continues there, later in the Masechta, and it says, Rav Yehuda says, no, the person would not ruin it for everybody else. He is not in that courtyard, whether he's a Yid or whether he's a Goy. He left, and therefore, we don't presume he's coming back, and therefore, Rav Yehuda is much more makel and says he doesn't ruin it for everybody else in the courtyard. Rav Yossi says, depends. Rav Yossi Omer, Nachri Oser, since the Goy can come back at any point in time, he can get in his car and drive back, even if it's 10 miles away, no big deal. So the Goy could potentially come back at any point in time, ruins it for everybody else in the courtyard, unless they make an accommodation for that. Whereas Yisrael ain't a Oser, but a Yid, it's outside its tchum, he can't come back, it's too far away, so he wouldn't ruin for the rest of the people in the courtyard when he leaves. Why? Because under most circumstances, he will not be able to come back. That's the opinion of Yossi. And finally, we have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu hiniach espeso v'olach lishbos eitzel bito ba'oso yir. Even if he didn't leave the city, he went to a place where he could come back. But he went to his daughter's house in the same city, so there's no way that he's going to leave his daughter's house. He obviously gets along great with his daughter. That's the presumption. Parents always have a special relationship with the daughter in terms of hosting and things like that. You see this in life, that the daughter's house is often a very, very comfortable place. Not to suggest, chas v'shalom, that the son's house is not, but as we'll see later on in the Gemara, there sometimes could be, it's often more of a joke than in reality, people say with the daughter-in-laws that there's a katata, there's some sort of a difficult relationship, and the Gemara there actually says that if you go to your daughter-in-law's house, you may end up coming back. Now, I'll put in here a personal perspective that with my Baruch Hashem, three wonderful daughter-in-laws who are like daughters, that would never happen. But the Gemara does mention that that type of relationship sometimes does occur, and that's certainly the common joke that people make about in-laws. In any event, the Gemara now just quotes the part of the Mishnah that says, if he goes to his daughter, there's no way he's coming back, ain't a wos there, shekvar hisiach daito, because he has no intention or suspicion that he'll be coming back. Now, the bottom line is, how do we paskin? Amar Rav Chama bar Gurya, Amar Rav, we had this already for the first three examples, he says, halach Rav Shimon, we paskin here, like the opinion of Rav Shimon, the last opinion that we just said. Now, Uman Poligalei, who argued with Rabbi Shimon? none other than Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we also had Rabbi Yossi arguing over here as well. But certainly Rabbi Yehuda. But we had a rule, and that's why Rabbi Masharshi says we don't follow those rules. Well, Amritz, we said the rule of Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Allah, Rabbi Yehuda. So why do we paskin here like Rabbi Shimon? Obviously, the rule is wrong, and that's what Rabbi Masharshi's proof is. So the Gemara says, again, my kush, same terrors we gave yesterday, twice, now we'll give it again today. Dilma hochanami. Where we have a specific person that we say we passing like this person, so then we do follow like the person, and then we don't follow the rule. However, but if we didn't say, then we follow the rule. So therefore, again, no raya to Rav Masharshia. And we're going to try again, and we're going to have similar answers until we ultimately reject Rav Masharshia's original statement, and we're going to modify it. So more tries again, from the following Mishnah. Also later in the Masechta, coming up in a couple of days, when the Chachamim said, when a poor person wants to make an Erev Techumim, so he doesn't have a lot of food. He can't go put food out there. So what he can do, if he wants to change his Makum Shvisa, he wants to change his focal point from his house, so he literally walks out to where he wants the focal point to be at the start of Shabbos. He walks out there Friday afternoon, and he stands there until it's, Ben Hashmashos, and he establishes his focal point over there. And then, once it's Shabbat, so now that's his focal point. If he wants to, he go back to his house, but he's created his focal point to be over there. That's what a poor person does. Ha'ani Mariv Baraglov. Remeir, however, says, Anu en Lenuela Ani. That's for only a poor person. A rich person, however, must put down Suda. He has to put down, demonstrating not just his physical presence there, but he should go and place the two meals there, the two sudos, and that demonstrates that that's what he wants his shvisa to be. Otherwise, it's presumptively he wants it to be in his house. He can't just walk there. That's the opinion of Meir. Reuven disagrees. Whether you're a rich person or a poor person, if anybody goes there, you certainly, that establishes your mokum shvisa. What's better than that? So why do they say something about meals? So So it's only that we allow a person to also, he can send the shaliach and put his two meals over there, that works. So that's only lahokel ela asher. That rich people can do that. So therefore, it's allowed. But it doesn't mean to suggest that a rich person can't go and walk there themselves. Shelo yetzi v'yari baraglam. Of course, a rich person can also, as can the ani, establish his mokum shvisa just by walking there. Now, umasni le Ruchia Barashi. So Ruchia Barashi said Lechia Barav. He said it to Lechia Barav. Two different Chias over here. So Ruchia Barashi said to Lechia Barav, and they said this in front of Rav, Kamei de Rav. Echad ani ve'echad asher. They said that whether you're rich or whether you're poor, you're allowed to go and use this methodology. In other words, he paskined over here like the latter opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. V'yomal Rav, and Rav said, siyim banami, don't just state that, but say, halachic Rabbi Yehuda. Say that the halacha, in fact, follows Rabbi Yehuda. Now, from the fact that Rav said that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, so it's clear that Rav doesn't hold from this general rule that we said, when you have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir, that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So, Tarti Lomeli, the Gemara says, if in fact, Rabbi Masharshi is saying, if in fact this rule that we had quoted, that we always follow these rules, and in other words, the rule is that when we have Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Meir, Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, so why did Rav say and announce Halach Rabbi Yehuda? That's what the Gemara says. Tarti Lomeli, why we have it twice? V'amris, we already learned, Rabbi Yehuda, Halach Rabbi Yehuda. So why did Rav say, Siyim Banami, Halach Rabbi Yehuda? Ah, must be, Rabbi Masharshi says, that we don't follow those rules. So the Gemara says, no, my question, maybe not. Dilma, Rav, less le lahani klali. Maybe Rav doesn't hold from these klalim. But Rashi points out, umishum derav less le, just because Rav doesn't hold from it, so who says that we don't hold from such rules? Bar Rav Yochanan Karmeluhu, this rule, these klalim that we said, who we paskin like Rav Yehuda over Rav Meir, that was stated by Rav Yochanan. Bahalachik Rav Yochanan over Rav. This is, again, one of the interesting items that we've mentioned, that we don't necessarily paskin like the greater person. Rav was greater than Rav Yochanan. Rav tanhu polik. Rav was, on an individual tzidkus point of view, recognized as being greater than Rav Yochanan. And yet, we always paskin like Rav Yochanan over Rav. We paskin like Rav Yochanan over Shmuel. And we even paskin like Rav Yochanan over Rav and Shmuel. So, this is not a riot to Rabbi Masharshia, because all we can say, and ultimately this is what we will say, Rav doesn't hold from these rules. But who says that Rabbi Yochanan's rule is incorrect? So again, tries one more time to find support for Rabbi Masharshia's statement that we don't pass on like these rules of Psak Halacha. El Mihodetnan. It's from the following Mishnah. Now, this is a Mishnah in Yevamos. Now this Mishnah is talking about when Nebuch, a woman, requires to have Yibam done to her. Her husband passes away and they don't have children. So this Yavama, she should not undergo lo sachlos v'lo sisyabim. She should not undergo either the chalitza process or the Yibam process until atshulo shlosha chadoshim, until 3 months have passed since her husband Nebuch passed away. Now this is something called Havchana. We always want to make sure that we know pure Jewish lineage. We want to absolutely establish for a fact who the father of a child is. That's in general. We don't allow somebody to get married, as we'll see in the Gemara in a few moments, we don't allow somebody to get married to somebody else within 3 months of a prior marriage. Because then we're not sure if a child is born to the woman who remarried somebody else, so then we're not sure if she gives birth to a child 7 months later, was it really 9 months from the first husband and the child really belongs to her first husband, or is it 7 months, a premature child from her second husband? So in order to eliminate or remove any such doubt, there's this concept of havchana, a waiting period of 3 months to show who the father really is. So therefore, this woman should not undergo yibum chalitza for 3 months. Now here it's a little bit different because there are potentially surim involved as well. So we'll explain this in a moment, but the Mishnah continues and says, "V'chein shar kol anoshim." In general, women shouldn't get married. Lo yinosu v'lo yisarsu. They shouldn't have nisuyim, which is the second stage of marriage, which was essentially consummating the marriage. After the nisuyim, now you're allowed to have relations with your wife. So that's called, you're not allowed to have the nisuyim, which would imply that there could be a child born from it. But even lo yisarsu, but they can't even have the erusin, which is the first stage of marriage, which is halachically a full marriage, but it doesn't allow them to yet be with each other. They can't consummate the marriage after the erusin. You can only consummate the marriage after the nisuyim. So there's no chance after erusin that they'll have a child. And nevertheless, the Mishnah says we don't allow either of them. As Rashi says over here, Gozer Rabbon and Erisin are to nisum. If we allow them to have the first stage of marriage, before you know it, they'll also have the second stage of marriage, or they'll consummate the marriage, and that would be a problem with this Havchana. So therefore, we don't allow any woman to get remarried, even the first stage of remarriage, which doesn't imply that you can have any children from it, but nevertheless, because of this gezeira, achu len shlosh chadash, we wait the 3 months no matter what. And this is true whether the first marriage was a woman who hadn't actively consummated her marriage. Echad Besulas is true for a woman who still was a Besula. The Echad Bulos, or whether a woman did consummate her marriage. Echad Amonos is true whether the person who she was married to died, or the Echad Grushos, whether the person she was married to originally divorced her. Echad Arusos, this is true whether it was only the first stage of marriage, and then either there was a divorce or a death. The Echad Nesulas, or whether it was a fully consummated marriage. In all of these situations, we wait 3 months. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Now, it doesn't state who this Tanakhama is. Some have the gears over here that this is Rav Meir, but we have it just stopped. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, Nisuos Yisarsu. He says, no, if they were previously had a full marriage, so then we do allow just the Erisin stage within 3 months, but we don't allow them to consummate the marriage. Because here, it could be a problem of Havchana, who the father is. But we do allow Erisin, according to Rav Yehuda. And if they only had an arusos, they only had a first stage of marriage, and Nebuch, that marriage ended, so there was no chance of having a child, so then, inosu, even within 3 months, they're allowed to go and actually consummate the marriage because there's no chance or concern of who the father is because they never had relations with the first husband. So therefore, there's no problem. So if they had relations with the first husband, so then they can't get fully married to the second husband. They can only have the first stage, the Erisin stage, because they won't consummate the marriage, and then we'll have no doubt that if the child is born, it was from the first husband. And likewise, if they never consummated the first marriage, so then they can even get married fully to the second husband, consummate the marriage, because there's no chance that it could be from the first husband. That's what Rav Yehuda says. One exception to this, Chutz Me'arusa Shev Yehuda, the woman who were married the first stage of marriage without officially being nisuin and allowed to consummate the marriage, but in Yehuda, Mipnei Shalibo Gaspa, the minhag was that they would live already in their future husband's house. As Rashi says, Rogil Ba Umakira Marutzlo. There was a very close relationship, and therefore there was a chance that they wouldn't be able to control themselves and actually had relations before the second stage of marriage. So therefore, in Yehuda, Nebuch, if that first marriage, which was officially only Erisin, ended with a divorce or with a death, so then we still wouldn't allow the second husband, even though theoretically the first marriage was never consummated, we're concerned that it really was consummated illegally, Mimnei Shalibo Gaspa. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Finally, Rav Yossi Omer, no, Kol HaNoshim Yisarsu. We're not concerned about this. We don't make any gzeira. Any person can get married a second time with the first stage of marriage because they're not allowed to have relations yet, so there's no concern of Havchana. The one exception is for a technical reason, chutz min almana, a woman whose nebuch, her first husband, passed away. So she's in aveilus, and therefore, b'nei ha'evil. So she has to wait 30 days. She doesn't have to wait 3 months, but she's not allowed to get married right away because she's in aveilus. It's improper. The period of time of the mourning is a shiva and shloshim for a husband or for a wife. And therefore, after that, then there's no longer aveilus. You only have aveilus for 12 months for a parent and not for a spouse. It has nothing to do with the closeness of the relationship. For a parent, it's a din of kibud av aim, and doesn't represent necessarily a closer relationship with a parent than with a husband or a wife. In any event, now we get to Rabbi Sharsha's proof. Now we said about this, now the Gersa that we have is Rabbi Eliezer, but on the side it says it should be Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar, lo al v'day midrasha. Rabbi Elazar, who was a great Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, one day didn't go to the base medrash for whatever the reason, and Ashkel Ravasi, he met Ravasi, who did go to the base medrash, the Havakoyim, who went to the base medrash to hear what Rabbi Yochanan said. So Amalei, so Rabbi Lazar asked his colleague, Ravasi, my Omer Bebe Medrasha, what did Rabbi Yochanan and the Rebbe say in the base medrash today? So Amalei, so Ravasi tells Rabbi Lazar, Hachim Rabbi Yochanan, this is what the Rebbe said, Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi, Paskin over here, in this Mishnah that we have, that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that all the women are allowed to have Erisin even within 3 months, with the one exception being the Amana, who can't have Erisin within the first 30 days because she's an Avelis. Now, why, Rav Masharshi says, did Rav Yochanan have to say that? Miklal, the Yichidoy Apoligle. It means that somebody's arguing with Rav Yossi that he has to paskin over here that this is Halach is like Rav Yossi. And the Gemara says, it is. Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa, this is Benichusa, this is a proof, this Braisa is a proof here. As Rashi says, Benichusa. If a woman is always going to her father's house, in other words, the marriage is not a good marriage, and therefore she's not been with a husband for a long period of time, and they're having a difficult time in their marriage, or they were actively fighting, and she hasn't been with her husband. So all of these cases we're going to bring down, she hasn't been with her husband in the last 3 months, so therefore there's no concern of havchana from a practical point of view. And nevertheless, we'll see that some say you have to be concerned, and some say you don't have to be concerned. Or alternatively, the husband was sick, he's in the ICU for the last 3 months, so there's no way they had relations. Or Yechola, he's sick, even not in the ICU. He's incapable, he's either old or incapable of having relations with his wife. So therefore, there's no opportunity for him to be the father of a child if she were to give birth to a child. Or she was sick, Nebuch. Or she's in Akara, she is impossible to have a child. She has infertility. Or Zekeno, she's postmenopausal. She can't have a child, she's too old. Or she's a Katana, she's too young to have a child. She's pre-menarchal. So therefore, in all of these situations, there's zero concern that she had a potential for having a child with her husband. Or violinist, she's a woman who's incapable of having a child because she has no secondary sexual characteristics. That's one of the definitions over here with an eyeless. Eyel means a ram. So this woman is like a male. B'she'en really late, or for whatever the other reason, she's infertile. She's incapable of having a child. Oh, Shaya Balu Chovish Be'ezosorim. Her Nebuchadnezzar has been in jail for the last 3 months, and she hasn't been able to consummate any marriage with him, to have any relations with him during the last 3 months. In all of these situations, and as well, Hamapelis Le'achamises Bala. Nebuchadnezzar, her husband passed away, and she was pregnant, and then she miscarried. So there's no way, obviously, she could have had a child from the first husband, because the child that she did have from him, Nebuchadnezzar miscarried. In all of these situations, Rav Meir, the Tanakhama says, Kulon Srichim Lahanti Gimush Chadashim, regardless of the fact that there's zero chance that she could have had a child from the first husband, you still wait 3 months. Rav Meir. So he's the one that argues with Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi, Matil Yoris and Nosimiyat. Rav Yossi says, since it's impossible for that to be a Havchana problem here, there's no way she could have a child from that first husband for all the reasons that we just mentioned. So therefore, she's permitted, Matir Yoris, to get married the first stage of marriage right away, and even Linosi, and even to consummate the marriage, have the second stage of marriage, Miyat. So what do we see? Clearly, that we have to state that Rav Yossi is how we paskin. Rav Yochanan clearly paskined like Rav Yossi over the opinion of Rav Meir. Now why? Lomeli. Why is that necessary? Well, Amris, we already have our rule that Rav Yochanan was the one who taught us Rav Meir, Rav Yossi, Halacha, Rav Yossi. So why does he have to tell it to us again? Ah, Rav Misharishia clearly doesn't, this proves that we don't have such rules. Someone says, no, well, my kusha, what are you talking about? Dilmo lafukim and Rav Nachman Shmuel. The only reason he says this over here, that we pass like Rav Yossi, is as opposed to the opinion of Rav Nachman Shmuel. What is that? Dilma halacha ki Rebbe Meir b'gzeiros. Because you know what? Well, in straight halacha, we pass in Rav Meir versus Rav Yossi, like Rav Yossi, but I mentioned previously, Rav Meir was a genius. He was so far above everybody else that he could argue both sides of every argument and convince everybody whichever way he wanted to convince them, he could convince them. He was so much brighter than everybody else. And therefore, we don't possibly like Rav Meir because we can't understand him. But if Rav Meir says, be careful about something, so whether we understand him or not, we better be careful about it. So when Rav Meir issues a gzeira, we always pasuk like Rav Meir. So this is really a gzeira here. This isn't a pure halacha. So I might have thought that this is a gzeira, we should pasuk like Rav Meir. That's why Rav Yochanan, even though Rav Yochanan holds these klolos, he was the one that stated them, says over here that we pasuk like Rav Yossi. Don't think that this is a gzeira of Rav Meir. So again, Rav Misharshi has no proof that he is correct, that we don't hold from these klolos. Try again. Elami Hodatanya from the following Brysa. The Brysa says, if you're going to a market, Holchin Liyorid, if you're going to your business's conference, if you're going to the show for your field, your specialty, to the market for your field, Holchin Richel Nochman, it's by Goyim, mostly Goyim over there. So normally we have a rule, you're not allowed to purchase something from a Goy right before their Chagas, before their Goyish holidays, because they're going to thank their gods, their false gods, for the sale. So therefore, you're not allowed to do something that will precipitate them to do Avodah Zarah. So therefore, in this situation, one might have thought that you can't go to the Yerid of the Nochrim because they're going to thank their God. However, it says here, the Lokim Mehem, you are allowed to go because this is going to be a loss of financial opportunity for you if you don't go to this market. So therefore, the Lokim Mehem Behema, you can't purchase in them animals, Vavodim, or slaves, or Shvachos, or maidservants, or Batim, or houses, or Sodos, or fields, or Kramin, or vineyards. You are allowed to do that, even though there's the risk that they may thank their God. And likewise, you're even allowed to go and deal with their secular courts. Normally you have a rule, you're not allowed to go to secular court, but that's when you're dealing with a yid. If you're dealing with a guy, you are allowed to go to the secular courts, because this is an opportunity for you to get your property back. And if you don't go to the secular courts, if you don't go to this yirid, you're going to suffer a significant financial loss. And even Mimoya Kohen, if he was a Kohen, he would be even allowed to go Chutz Laaretz to go and save himself from this financial loss. Now, that's only a Din Rabbanan that the rabbi set up in Chutz Laaretz that there's a Din of Tumah. So the rabbi said that this Din Rabbanan doesn't apply if there's going to be a huge financial loss for you. And therefore, Mimoya Kohen, Mitami B'Chutz Laaretz, Lo Dun La'ari Mo'en. You can even go to the secular courts in Chutz Laaretz to go get your money back. Ukishem Shem Mitami B'Chutz Laaretz. And just like you're allowed to go to Chutz Laaretz, kach bitame bebeis hakvara. So too, you could even go into a cemetery in order to go and get to the litigation place with the guy. Now the Gemara says, really? Beis hakvara so kedaitach? Do you really think that you're allowed to go to the beis hakvara? That's impossible. Beis hakvara is an issa daraisa. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's not what we meant. When we said you can go to the beis hakvara, ella, it meant bebeis hapras, which is only a twin of tumma of the Rabbanan. We previously said a beis hapras would be an area, for example, where there was a person buried, and then the field was plowed over, and the only concern would be that maybe you're not going to have a tumas oel over here, but maybe you'll come into contact with a piece of the bone that's bigger than an etzem kisora, bigger than a barleycorn, and then you would have a problem of tumas maga in the touching of the bone when you walk on it. So therefore, there are ways in the Rabban. You can blow with some sort of a bellows or plow the field over so any bones would be destroyed. That wouldn't be bigger than a etzem kisora. In any event, that's a beis hapras, which is only a tumma de Rabbanon. Umetame, and he's allowed to go there to be metame for either the business reasons or lisa isha, to go and marry a woman, or lulma Torah, to go and study Torah. And Amar Yehuda, Rehuda qualifies this, and he says, under what circumstances is this true? Emosai, when can you go there to marry a woman or to learn Torah? So he says, B'man she'ein motse, lil mot, when there is no Rebbe for you to learn with where you are right now. Avo motse, lil mot, if there is a Rebbe here, then you're not, lo yitame. So Rehuda says, you're not letting go be mitame in that situation. And Rav Yossi argues, Rav Yossi Omer, af b'zman she'motse, lil mot, nami yitame. Even if you have a Rebbe here that you could learn with, you're allowed to go, and even be mitame yourself, mean the Rabbanon, to go to another Rebbe. And why is that? So to return to Yom Adai, Lafi, the Gemara tells us, Lafi, she'ein min hakol zolcha odun lomo, because your individual success with this Rebbe may not be as good as your success with that Rebbe. As Rashi says, ein odun zolcha lomo mikol melamdav. You can't always learn. This guy could be a great Talmud Chacham, but you somehow don't connect with him, or you somehow can't understand him, for whatever the reason. So there are those Yesh Rav She Mishnoso Sidur Befiv. There are some Rabbeim that are very clear and articulate. They're shown in the Tamid of Derech Hatzara and can teach the Tamidim in a very short fashion, and it's much easier to learn it that way. Others are a little bit more long-winded, or they're not as clear, and therefore a person has the right to say, "Listen, I learned better by that Rebbe," even though you could arguably say this Rebbe is greater. But a person, according to Rav Yossi, would even live out to be Matami with the Rabbanon to go and learn by the other Rebbe. V'amar Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi says, Maisa Shahaya, Maisa B'Yosef HaKohen, there once was a person who was a Kohen, Yosef HaKohen, Sholach Etzel Rabbo L'Tzaydan, he went outside of Eretz Yisrael to learn by his Rebbe in Tzaydan, that's a place outside of Eretz Yisrael, even though there were Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael, and he went there L'Lomot Torah. And therefore, you see that you're allowed to go and leave Eretz Yisrael and be Matami Midirabbanon to learn Torah, exactly like Rav Yossi said. How do we paskin? And Rav Yochanan said, Halachik Rav Yossi. The halach is like Rav Yossi. Now, here comes with Misharshi's proof. Why do I need you to tell me the Lomali? Why do I need Rav Yochanan to say that halach is like Rav Yossi? After all, Amritz, Rav Yossi was the one that said, when you have a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, like we have over here, a machlokas in this price between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, halachik Rav Yossi. The halach is like Rav Yossi already. So therefore, Misharshi says, you see that Rav Yossi needed to be taught us, Rav Yochanan needed to teach us that halach is like Rav Yossi, and therefore, obviously, Rav Yochanan doesn't hold from that rule, and it's a mistake. Rabbi Abai says, no, Rav Misharshi, you're wrong. Itzrich. Here you need specifically Rav Yochanan to say, even though he has the rule, that normally Rav Machlokas, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, we pass like Rav Yossi, here you need specifically to tell me that the halacha still is like Rav Yossi. Why is that? Itzrich. Because I might have said, Sokadai Techaminoch, if left to my own, I would have said, Hani Mili Mimas Nisan, this rule that we follow when it's Machlokas, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, we follow the opinion of Rav Yossi is only when it's in a Mishnah. On my own, I would have said, Avol B'Braisa, which aren't so well understood and evaluated, maybe not, Emelo. So therefore, Rav Yochanan came to tell us, Kamash Wulon, that even in a Braisa, the halacha over here is like Rav Yossi, over Rav Yehuda. So again, we pushed Rav Misharshi aside. He is not able to find support for his statement that all of these klolim that were made before, that we follow this Rebbe over that Rebbe, this Rebbe over this Rebbe, he says that they're not true, but we don't find Rav Misharshi having support from any place to negate those klolim, and therefore, what did Rav Misharshi really mean? Elohikomer, this is what Rav Misharshi really meant. Hani klolim, these klolim that we were talking about, lav divri akolninu. Not everybody agrees with them. I don't disagree with them, but there are those that do, such as Rav, Dor Rav, Lesley Hani klolim. Oh, we brought down proof that Rav didn't hold from these klolim because Rav had to say that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda in the case of allowing the Oni or the Asher to go and be Ma'ariv. Biraglov, it wasn't only the poor person, even the rich person. So Rav didn't hold from the klolim, but Lav Davka, anybody else. Now we go back to a discussion that we had a couple of days ago, where it was machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Nuri and the Chachamim as to whether a item of Hefker, Hefzei Hefker, are they Konish Shvis or not. Rav Yochanan and Nuri said that they are, and the Chachamim said that they're not. So I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. What about Hefzei Nochri? Hefzei Nochri, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, ain't koni shvisa, that an object that belongs to a non-Jewish person also doesn't have a tchum attached to it. Now, who does this go like? This statement that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says is go like which Tana, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri or the Chacham? Laman, Eilem or Rabban, if you tell me it goes according to the opinion of the Chacham that say Chevtze, Hefker, have no tchum, so Pshita. Now, why is it Pshita? Hashta, if you're going to tell me now, Chevtze, Hefker, the less Lubalim, ain't koni shvisa, if something which has no owner, something which is Hefker, doesn't have a shvisa, so certainly chetzei nachri, the islu balim that have a balim who don't have a tchum mibaya. Would you have to ask me that if something which if it's picked up by somebody else becomes the tchum of that person? So a nachri has no tchum. So certainly you wouldn't have to tell me that chetzei nachri have no tchum. Wouldn't even get off the ground pshita. So obviously Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel must be going according to Rav Yochanan Nuri. El alib Rav Yochanan Nuri. Now, Shmuel is telling us, when does he say that an inanimate object, a kli, a food, can go and get its own shvisa? It's only if it's hefker. The less lubalim, because it doesn't have an owner. But the chiddush over here, Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, is abochetzi anachri, the is lubalim. So items that are owned by a non-Jewish person,
So their owner, they're the owner of the item. It's not a hefker. Lo, doesn't have a shvisa. So even according to Rav Yochanan Nuri, it says chepse hefker have a shvisa, but chepse nach we don't have a shvisa. That is what the purpose of Rav Yehuda Mishmuel's statement is. More questions. This basically more it says. But wait a second. We learn the following brayso. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer. Rav Shimon Elazar tells us hashoel kli min anochri biyontif. If you borrow a fork, or you borrow something from your next door neighbor, the guy, on yontif. Now, what's the problem over here? Does it have his tchum or your tchum? Or if you lend your item to the nochri on Erev Yontif, so whose tchum does it have? Your tchum or his tchum? And he gives it back to you. Now, if it was his at the start of Yontif, it should have his tchum if you hold like that, not your tchum. So how do we paskin? Or vakelim v'otzoros. Now this is a funny language over here. Rashi explains vakelim v'otzoros means sha'asum otzor. You have some sort of a utensil over here that you're using as a storehouse. In other words, it is definitely something that is wanted. In all of these situations, sheshav su b'sochetchum, if they were within your tchum when Shabbos began, so yesh lam apayim amal l'chol ruach, so then they have 2,000 amas in every direction. In other words, they don't have the tchum of the nochri. They have their own tchum. Now, the nachri shehevi lo peres michutz tchum, but if the nachri were to bring you fruit from outside of the tchum, which he's not allowed to do for you, hareze lo yizizim mimkoma, you're not allowed to move it because it came from outside the tchum. Now, how could this be if they were belonging to the non-Jewish person, he brought it outside the tchum, so it's now within your tchum, but it was too far away, it doesn't have the ability to be moved. So, obviously, the chetzei nachri do have a shvisa. Now, Iyamis Bishlomo, that works out great. If you say Kasava Rav Yochanan Nuri, Chepsi Nachum Kona Shvisa. That works out great if you hold the opinion that Rav Yochanan Nuri says, different than what we just proved, that Chepsi Nachum, in fact, are Kona Shvisa. Now, this works out well if you say, Homani, this is the opinion of Rav Yochanan Nuri, that he holds both Chepsi Hefker, a Kona Shvisa, and Chepsi Nachum, a Kona Shvisa. Different than what we just said a minute ago. That's Rav Yochanan Nuri. Elo Yarmus, but except we said a minute ago, Kesavar Yochanan Nuri, that only Chetzi Hefker are Kona Shvisa, but Chetzi Anochri ain't Kona Shvisa, so then Homani, Lower Yochanan Nuri, Lower Bonnet, and we're stuck. So therefore, the Gemara says, Liolam Kesavar Yochanan Nuri, in fact, Yochanan Nuri holds the Chetzi Anochri Kona Shvisa, like this price that we just brought down. Shmuel, what did he say? Reviewed on Shmuel, that we said, he held Chetzi Nochri Ein Kona Shvisa. Who does that go like? So, the Karmis, the Rabbanon, we said, if you want to say it's the Rabbanon, it's obvious, because if the Rabbanon say the Chetzi Hefker don't have Shvisa, so certainly Chetzi Nochri don't have Shvisa, so then it can't be the Reuda Meshul saying it according to the Rabbanon. We say, no, it is. In fact, it is the Rabbanon. Mao detain, because I might have said, Gzeira Balam de Nochri Yotu Balam de Yisrael. We might have thought that, you know what, while Chetzi Hefker, if they don't have a Shvisa, then certainly we should have said a Kavu Chomer, the Chetzi Nochri don't have a Shvisa, but I might have said maybe not. I might have said that we have to make a Gzeira. If we allow Chetzi Nochri not to have a Shvisa, then maybe people are going to say the Chetzi Yisrael also don't have a Shvisa. So Gzeira Balam de Nochri Yotu Balam de Yisrael. That's what I might have thought, Kamash Rulan. That's why Yehuda Moshmul says, no, we don't apply that reasoning. However, the Gemara says, Rav Chiya bar Rabbi, Rav Yochanan disagrees with this statement of Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Chetzi Nochri and Kona Shvisa. Why? Because it's this exact Gzeira. Gzeira Baalam de Nochri, Otu Baalam de Yisrael. If we don't have this Chetzi Nochri, Kona Shvisa, so they'll say, well, it's owned by Chris, and he didn't have a problem with Tchum. So now, if it's owned by Yankel, and he gives it to me, there's also no problem of Tchum. Therefore, to prevent this from occurring, we, in fact, make such a Gzeira. Gemara tells us, Hanu dichre di osulim avrachta, dichre are aisle, right? A ram is a zohar. The dalet and the zayin are interchangeable. So dichre means a zohar animal, a ram, an aisle. The osulim avrachta, they went to the city called Mavrachta. Now, they came from outside the Tchum. The non-Jewish people who brought them there brought them from outside the Tchum to the city of Mavrachta on Yontif. Now, as we previously learned, if you bring it for a specific Jew, you're not going to get any benefit from it. But in this situation, it wasn't brought for a specific Jew, so you're allowed to get benefit from it, but you have the problem of Tchum still. So Sharlu Rava lived in Mechuzah. Rava allowed his people who lived, Rava was the Rav in Mechuzah, which was more than 2,000 amos away from Avrachta, to go Lizban Minayu. Rava allowed the people in Mechuzah to go purchase it from the Goyim who brought it to Mavrachta. They didn't bring it for them in Mechuzah, so they certainly were allowed to get benefit from it. And even though this was beyond the original Tchum from where these aisles were, he allowed them to go purchase it. Now, this is Yontif. We're talking about a Yontif. So there are whole laws about purchasing on Yontif. So obviously, within the framework of the halachos of being allowed to purchase things from even a Jewish storekeeper and from a non-Jewish storekeeper, there are parameters, assuming they kept those parameters. So he allowed them. There wasn't a tchum problem over here. Now, the Gemara says, how was he allowed to do this? Why was Rava allowing the Bnei Mechuza to purchase these Dachre, these rams, from those non-Jewish people who brought him there? So Amar Ravina said, wait a second, what are you thinking? My daito, how come you allowed them to do this? Is it based upon the Amar Yud, Amar Shmuel, Chetzi, Nochri, Enkon, and Shvisa? Because there is no Shvisa. So now when you buy it, it has your Shvisa. But that's not true. Vashmuel, Rav Yochanan, Loch Rav Yochanan. Because this is a machlokas between Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. And as I already pointed out early in the year, Rav Yochanan wins against Rav, and Rav Yochanan wins against Shmuel. So Rav Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, Lachi Rav Yochanan. And we know that Rav Yochanan says, Amar Yechia Bar Avin, Amar Yochanan, Chetzi Nachi Kod Nishvisa. So these rams that were brought by the Goyim are now outside their tchum. Gezeira, Balam Dinoch, we ought to Balam Yisrael. And therefore, we do give them a tchum, when they were owned by Goyim, because we're not careful about giving them a tchum when something is owned by Goyim and given to a Yid, so then we're not going to be careful about something owned by a Yid when he's giving it to another Yid, and we'll say, oh, it doesn't have the original tchum. So therefore, you're wrong. We shouldn't paskin like Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, we should paskin like Rav Yochanan. So Rava retracts. So Rava said, Lizdabnu livnei mavrachta. So the only people that can use it are the people in mavrachta, because while it's still outside the Tchum, but that's considered one city as Dalet Amos. So only in Mavrachta is it not considered beyond the Dalet Amos. But to take it from Mavrachta and Mechuzah, that he didn't allow. This is a good break point for us to stop. It is Erev Rosh Hashanah right now, and I just wanted to again wish all the listeners and their families, they should all have a good Gebenchtor, a Kesiva, a Chasima Tova. With this, we conclude today's shiur.